This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Right, hi everybody. My name's Maurizia and I'm chair of the Wiltshire Parent Carer Council. I've been asked to come and talk to you today about improving choice and quality of services, which we believe we've at least started to do in Wiltshire. But before I do that, I'd like to just run briefly through, you know, how we got to participate so well with our local authority. These are my two boys, James on the right, who's 13, and William on the left, who was born with Down syndrome, and he's 11. 2 years ago, when I first got... 2 years ago, I was at a stage in my life when I was completely exasperated and exhausted with having to battle to get a little bit of support, that little bit of service, just to help me carry on caring. And I'm quite a positive person by nature, so when I received an invitation from our local authority to go along to a parent carer coffee morning, and they wanted to tell us about aiming high, I was actually quite excited about the prospect of being able to work with professionals, and I believe this was a really great opportunity. So we went off and we applied for the grant and so forth. But what was it like at the beginning for us? And is still, I think, for lots of parent groups and for local authorities, you know, there was no tradition of working together. It was hard to adjust to this, not only for parents, but also for professional colleagues. Parents were used to being told what they could and couldn't have, not being asked. And, you know, parents came with a mindset of, you know, we've always had to battle and you wanted to hang on to whatever you had. So we went in really with quite, you know, quite wary and suspicious of what we were, you know, being told and what we were going to be involved with talking about. And it was hard for us also because there was a lot of jargon that the local authority used. CDTs, HCAs, DPs, OTs, FLS, FLCs, and if Wiltshire's going to make any progress towards the FSO, which is being monitored by TDC, on behalf of what was then the DCSF, then we better get a move on. It was a complete minefield. And, you know, there was a lot of frustration from both parties. We would be continually asking questions. I mean, I've lost count of how many times I had to be told that you couldn't use capital to purchase a service and you couldn't use revenue to have a ramp installed in a universal setting. So there was a lot of frustration and it was a very steep learning curve for all of us. And I think from the local authority's point of view, you know, they were very aware, I should say, that we are parent carers, that, you know, we have a very tough job sometimes, caring for our children. And I think from their point of view also, they were concerned about getting us too involved in too many meetings and so forth. So there was a lot of frustration and mixed emotions flying around. And the parents also, you know, we didn't have a very good knowledge of the local authority, the structure, how it worked, where we should be sitting, what were the right places to get things done. And our local authority actually invited us to sit on the Trust Disability Board meeting at a very, you know, strategic level quite early on in the programme. But in my naivety, I turned around and said, whoa, you know, I just want to get the parent group up and running first. I don't want to take too much on. So they were completely baffled. So with all these, like I say, mixed emotions going on, it was a time of adjustment for us all. When we finally did decide to accept an invitation to the Trust Board Disability Group, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. And it was more like gunfight at the OK Corral. So at that stage, you know, it felt like we were falling down the ladder rather than working our way up. So how did we overcome this? We spent 5 hours, actually, at the pub, and I will hasten to add that that was in the interest of accommodating parents, not because we needed a drink, but because we were having a committee meeting in the function room at the time, and our commissioning officer came down to meet with me because we'd had a conversation earlier that day on the phone, and, you know, actually we realised that... she realised that we weren't as happy as she thought we were, and, you know, vice versa, really. So she came along and we literally sat for 5 hours thrashing out our issues and our concerns. And we talked about where we wanted to be, where we wanted to, how we wanted to move forward. And we talked about what we wanted to protect that was working well between us, between this joint partnership, and what we wanted to change. And we formulated all of this and drew up a participation and communication strategy, which was also backed by funding from our local authority for our group to participate at many different levels. We told them we wanted to be better informed and receive information in good time so we could read up and do our homework and be better prepared in meetings and make better use of everybody's time. So the local authority made a very clear commitment to us, and we started going to meetings more regularly, which helped maintain close working relationships. There was commitment from both parties because participation is a two-way street. One can't do it if the other one isn't, and you both need to be committed. That's the parents, and I know we're all tired and everything, but, you know, this is just such a fantastic opportunity. We've just got to find that little bit of energy from somewhere and get the job done. So if you're both pulling in the right direction, you really can make such a powerful team. So the commitment from both parties, and, you know, we learnt our lessons from the early stages. And the most important thing is when you've come to an agreement like that, you've really got to move on. You can't keep thinking about what it was like earlier on. Let's go forward. So we learnt our lessons. We recognised and accepted that we're not always going to be right and we're not always going to agree with each other, but we will listen and explain to each other why we are saying certain things. And it's very important to make time for each other because that's how you build trust and respect for each other, from which you can then do really wonderful things together. So once we sorted all that out, we actually hit the ground running and we're now involved on all these boards and working groups. And most recently, Anna and Sue, you'll be glad to hear, with all the spending cuts looming, and almost in effect, we've actually been invited and have started going on to the corporate review workshop. So, you know, they're working with us right at the start of these are challenging times, but actually they're quite interesting times because if you get parents in at that stage, you can look at processes, services with parents on board, not just invite them in somewhere along the line where, you know, it's kind of convenient for you, but have them in right at the beginning. So through working together over the last 2 years, we have done some significant pieces of work, and perhaps one of the most significant is about transforming short breaks in Wiltshire, which brings me nicely on to part of the reason why you've asked me to talk today, which is about improving quality and choice of services. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you all about that. I'm going to let all our parents in Wiltshire tell you about it. So we're going to watch a little film, and it's going to last about 6 minutes. So just about the local offer. Having transformed, or at least started to transform, short breaks in Wiltshire, I continue to believe that parents add value. Local authorities have always designed services, but now they're designing better services because we're working with them and they're designing services that are wanted, needed and are being used. Children are living life more to the full, and not just our disabled children, but also their siblings. You know, this has a rippling effect for all the, you know, the wider carer support around them. And families are better able to cope because, as Fran said in the video, you know, we're not drawing on other services because actually we're more able to cope on a day-to-day basis. And it's cost-effective because the local authority won't be building services that aren't wanted and aren't needed and won't work properly. And it's important to involve parents and carers, like I've said, even at this corporate review stage, because we can help you improve your processes and for accessing services, streamlining assessments. That's what we want. We don't want to jump over other hurdles and hoops. Like you say, like a wraparound assessment that starts from the early years right through. Aspirations, many. When I set up the parent group, One of the hardest things for me to hear as well was other parents that had older children than me, so young people, who, you know, like I say, William was only 9 at the time, and I was already thinking, you know, this is it, this is the way it's just going to be for the rest of his life. I'm going to have to battle to get services and support. So I'd become quite resigned to that even then. Then I got involved with Aiming High and I became very enthused and excited about this prospect. But there were parents around me that had older children who really had got to the end of their tether, and I would try to enthuse them and say, look, you know, this is a great initiative. And they would say to me, this is just another harebrained initiative from government. It's fine while it lasts and the funding will come for 2 or 3 years. Then it will be gone, and what will you be left with? You'll be back to square one. We don't want to go back to square one. We've started on this journey, and it really is just the tip of the iceberg. Sorry, I get quite emotional about this, because we're very concerned about the cuts, because we've spent a lot of time and energy building relationships with the people that we're working with our change champions, and we're frightened we're going to lose them, because we will be starting all over again. You know, if our commissioning officer, who's been a fantastic champion in Wiltshire, as with other people on the team, you know, we're fearful for their jobs. If they go, we have built the relationship with these people. It isn't just a commissioning officer. It's because we've taken the time to get to know each other and to trust each other. And I really think government need to continue to support us in some way and support this initiative, because we've also heard, you know, we've by no means been there, done it, and are wearing the T-shirt. We've still got a lot of work to do in Wiltshire, but we have started. Some parent groups and other local authorities haven't even, you know, got up halfway the ladder yet, and we really need to be there to support them, because ultimately Aiming High was about getting equity across the whole country, and if they don't continue with this, we're not going to achieve that, and it will have been another harebrained idea from government at the end of the day, and possibly money wasted if we can't continue and build on what's already started. I think I'm pretty much done. Sorry.